may say, or whatever, you know, what the, I don't know, the popular crowds, right? The crowd is a term, maybe doing at the time. All that really matters is that you have a relationship with Christ, because all of that is going to be insignificant later. It's going to be insignificant later. Trust me. I tried to fit in junior high and high school, and none of that matters. It's a distraction from our personal relationship with Christ. And then we talked about Sermon on the Mount, how the Pharisees, they prayed in public because that was a culture and that was a thing to do. But in actuality, he's saying, just spend time with me alone. Spend time with me alone. That's what really matters. So today we're going to talk about doubt and power over doubt. Having power over doubt. And a lot of us has doubt, right? Do you have doubt? We have doubt that, oh, I don't know about this exam. I don't know about, you know, I have APs coming up. We have doubt. And sometimes it consumes our minds. And the other doubt can be, how do I know that Christ, God exists? To be honest, I've questioned that a lot. You know, how do I know that he's there? We have doubts. It's just part of who we are. That's part of being human. What do you guys have doubts about? What do you guys have doubts? Would anybody like to share besides Cliff? Crystal?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have...
Here.
Oh.
Abba. Would you prefer to speak there or come here? Okay.
It's kind of short.
Okay. Oh, your name time.
Well, who cares? Okay, so I feel like doubt usually is split into two categories. The first one is about like your future. So, for example, like exams or what school you're gonna go to, or like you know, you have to think about what company you wanna go and how to retire and interest funds and everything. And the second category is kind of your now. So like social standing and how your friends are and like what you look like, etc. And those usually prevail over your future doubt, but there's like another hidden doubt that not a lot of people always talk about. It's like doubt in your faith, and it's like, Jesus real, or like, what should I do right now? Should I go follow the majority? Should I do the easy thing, or should I do the right thing? So, yeah.
All right, wow.
Let's give it up for Crystal. Who wants Crystal to be their ladies' pastor?
Yeah.
We all have doubts. Would anybody else like to share? Alvin?
I think Crystal captured it really well.
She captured it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So our scripture reading comes from Matthew, and then I'll read it for you, okay? Hold on, 1 second, sorry. This is coming. Verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, verse 24, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Again, 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Verse 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But then when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought out all the sick to him and begged him to let the sick touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of God. When I say that, man, praise be to God. Okay? This is the word of God.
Praise be to God.
Okay, so just a little bit of background about this. Matthew talks, Jesus is conducting a lot of miracles. He's starting his ministry. He had just fed this event here, where he asked the disciples to go out into the boat. So just prior to that, he had just finished feeding the multitudes. Do you guys remember that story? Basically, there was 5,000 people, and Jesus, and there was, you know, there was no food, and they were starving. So this little boy had five loaves and two fish, something like that. It's not enough to feed 5,000. So basically, Jesus multiplied all that bread, and he multiplied all that fish, and everybody was filled. And then there was 12 baskets left over of leftovers, 12 baskets. So soon after that, he actually encouraged at that time, it was a crowd of 5,000, that was a lot of people. So he needed to take a break, right? So the reason why they say that probably he asked them to go away was because he had just completed this amazing miracle, and he didn't want to continue to be hoarded and bombarded by all these crowds. They'll probably continue to ask him to conduct more and more miracles. But he wanted to ensure that he spent allocated some time to be able to give a lesson, a very valuable lesson to his disciples. So after he conducted the miracle of feeding the 5,000, he immediately asked them to take a step back, like, I need to chill for a sec. Can you give me a breather? So they went away, and then Jesus went up into the mountain to pray. So he made the disciples get into the boat while he by himself was praying by himself. That's a very interesting point. We're talking about the Son of God here, right, Jesus? He just did this outstanding miracle of feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and a few fish. And yet he still takes time out for himself. Remember we talked about yesterday, where Christ says, pray to yourself, take time out by yourself to pray. And here we see him, even Christ takes time out for himself, alone time, to pray with him and his God. So by this time, he asked the disciples to say, hey, can you guys, I need some alone time, let me just take a breather, I'm going to pray a little bit, so can you guys like go out to, see that boat over there? Yeah, just take that boat and just go out to the lake, try to get some fish or whatever, just hang out there on the boat. And so storms were already coming, right? And by that time, the boat was like already pushed out to the middle of the lake. It was already way out because there were like wind clouds forming. And then who was it that demonstrated that? And then Jesus walks, verse 8, comes out like this. He needs the balance, right? So they see him walking on the water. That's the next miracle. That's the next miracle. And then Jesus is like, can't you guys just spend like 15 minutes? Like, I need to pray, man. What's going on now? You know, you made me walk on the water. Okay. So verse 28. So Peter is like this, his character is like, he's so bold, right? We see him and that's so his character. Like he always the one to like initiate. He's always the one to be like so inquisitive and like to step out first and like take this first action, take initiative. So this is so like Peter, right? In verse 28, he goes, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And that's totally in Peter's character. He's so like taking the initiative and he's so, because he's got the heart. He wants to believe. So we don't fault him for that. He's got the heart. He takes the first step. He wants to go out. So what we see here is that the disciples witness Christ walking on water. That's the second miracle. Peter sees that and is bold. He's bold at first. He takes the initiative. So he trusts. He trusts. He takes the initiative and says, if it's you, I'm going to go out to the water too and walk towards you. He has, at that time, enough faith to be able to trust the Lord and to be able to do that. You got to give him credit for that, right? He was the first one to do that. So as we move on to the passage, then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Peter started out fine at first until he saw the winds and the waves. We may have all the boldness and courage to say, I got this. I studied my APs, I studied my SATs, I'm fully prepared, and I got this. Or maybe it could be the opposite. No, I didn't study. I totally bombed this. That may be you. Or you may be like, no, man, I studied and I got this. My personal review, like I took those like 50 times over. Like I memorized this thing. So you may be bold and fully confident to take that step, like Peter. And that's great. Nobody's faulting you for that. But there could be some times in our life when, oh my gosh, what is this thing? Look at the winds. Like it was fine at first, like it was a cool breeze, you know? It was a cool breeze, and I'm just going to step out and I'm going to walk towards Jesus because I believe. And then I said, oh, all of a sudden I look. Oh my gosh, look at these winds. And the clouds are starting to turn gray, and the winds are getting more gusty. And the winds are starting to get more turbulent and violent. And the winds are coming at faster speeds. And then suddenly he loses all confidence. Ouch. He loses all confidence. So sometimes our best laid plans. I have enough boldness and courage to say, I got this under control. I can take care of this. But sometimes life throws things at you that you are completely unexpected. And when you see the dark gray of clouds forming, and you see winds, whatever it may be, there will always be a wrench that is thrown in there, and a lot of times our best laid plans do not work out. So you did a good job in taking that first step and being bold, but there are factors that are out of our control. There are some things that you cannot actually control. As smart as you are, as talented as you are, as gifted as you are, life just throws wrenches at you that you cannot control. It's completely out of your control. Unexpected. And so what are you going to do at that point when that happens? Peter was brave. Peter was bold. But when he saw the waves, this is totally unexpected. Oh my gosh. Then he starts freaking. And then everything panics and everything unravels. Then he starts to sink. It's completely out of his control. So my kids, Jessica and Justin, they're older now, so, you know, Jessica, she's working, data scientist, and then my son, he's still a junior, UW. But when they were younger, when they were like 2 and 4 years old, we bought our first dream house in Sammamish, right behind Skyline High School. It was our dream house. We had prayed and we had wished for this house for so long. So we put in an offer for the house. And we got accepted on a contingency. With the contingency means that conditional. Like you got this house, but this needs to happen. And what that was you need to provide proof of income from your job, okay, like a pay stub. So I said, okay, no problem. I have my pay stub history. So they still had to build a house. So it was going to take a few months to construct the house. And then our whole family moved into a temporary living situation in an apartment in Sammamish. Okay, so right like a month after we moved into the apartment, we were so excited, right? Our very first house, we loved it. Our dream house that we wanted in Sammamish, it was finally coming to fruition. And we were so excited. We took that step of boldness, right? Even though it was a contingency. I still needed to provide my pay stub and proof of income. Okay? We took that step. And then, soon after, a month after we moved in, I get a layoff notice from my employer. And so I'm stuck. If I can't provide this proof of income, and then not only did I have to provide proof of income, but it had to be a certain amount, an exact amount. Because it's like, when you guys buy a house later, it's like they have what's called debt to equity ratio. So I have to show debt to equity ratio, and it had to be a certain amount. And it's like, not only do I have to find a new job within like a month, but it has to be like this minimum amount. I was stuck. The gray clouds were forming. Something completely unexpected. When in the meantime, like just last week, I was so overjoyed and had so much confidence because we had prepared for this. So, firstly, can we take the example of Christ where despite doing miracles and despite doing his thing with all of the multitudes, number one is he still took the time to reflect and spend time with his God in prayer by himself. He pushed the disciples away and said, just let me be alone. I need to pray. So even when Jesus went to the mountainside in solitude to pray, 23, after he dismissed them, the disciples, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Despite our busy schedules, Christ asks us to spend time by ourselves, alone time, just myself and God in prayer. Jesus, even Jesus, the Son of God, did this. He had just fed the multitudes, you know, the 5,000. So he wanted to be alone. And despite our schedules, just like Jesus, he needed to pray by himself. So you guys have a daily routine. Like, what's your daily routine? So for me, this actually developed over time. So it changes throughout the years, but these days I try to do my morning quiet daily quiet time. And then just all throughout the day, you know, I'm praying. And, you know, I'll pray with when we have like church meetings and services and, you know, youth group meetings and father schools, but just by myself, you know, wherever I may be. Like the best time for me to pray is typically like when I'm in the car, right? When I'm in the car, you're in traffic, that's the best time, alone time for me and Christ. And then evening time, I'll have prayer and reflection. So number two, life will always throw out curveballs. Verse 29, come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked onto the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the Lord, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Peter was doing just fine and bold enough to step out of the boat until he saw the winds and the storms. And just like I said, your best laid plans may not always go perfectly. Life will always throw curveballs. So going back to this, when I read this passage, I said, oh my gosh, this is exactly like what happened to us when I bought that house. Okay, so if you remember, here we are. We just bought our first dream house on a contingency. And then a month after, I get a layoff notice, a pink slip. And I'm stuck here in an apartment, not being able to buy the dream house we just got. And I was panicking. Our kids were still, Jessica and Justin were very young, 2 and 4. What are we going to do? It's just a one-bedroom apartment. Temporary situation. So the only thing that I could do was something that is completely out of my control. Now, we still have to do the things that God gave us the gifts to do. He gave us healthy hands that we can work with and healthy bodies, most of the hairs that we can work with. And he gave us our brains. God created our brains to be able to think and also to be proactive about taking the actions. So we need to take the actions, but ultimately God provides the solution. So what ended up happening was, when I saw the storm clouds, just like Peter, I saw the gray clouds forming. What am I going to do? I'm stuck. I've absolutely, And I started applying like crazy. So that's our part. That's our part. We have to do everything that we can in that situation. We don't sit back. We pray, but we don't just sit back and pray only. God asks us to do our part. So we do everything that we can. I was applying, and then sure enough, after a couple of interviews, not only did I got a position a few weeks after, but it was the amount that they offered me was exactly what I needed. The perfect amount to be able to qualify for that house. And that was really, probably, I would have to say, one of the first real, truly, I can say to this day, that I really felt touched by God. That was a real miracle for me. There are unexpected things that can happen despite all of your plans and all of your planning. Life will throw curveballs at you. And we need to be able to turn to God in prayer and ask Him for His help and just continue to believe and to continue to trust, but most importantly, continue to not doubt. So finally, God is testing our faith. God is testing our faith. Trust the process. Trust the process. And when we do, then this will overcome. God will help us to overcome our doubt. So verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? It was really kind of, when I was in the middle of that moment, it was really kind of very, very scary for me. And so I can stand here and say, okay, make sure you don't doubt. Just all you got to do is trust. It's not that easy because we're all human. We're all human, just like Peter. He had the best laid plans, but he's still human. But just know that God is there and he's with you always. He was with Peter from the beginning. And therein is the main point. He's like, why are you even questioning? You didn't question it from the beginning when you took the first step out. Why are you questioning it now? Just because you see some storm clouds? Why are you questioning it now? My power is great enough. I, as the creator of the universe, surely if I ask you to come and take a step out, then I'm going to be with you all the way, regardless of what happens. Regardless of the storm clouds, regardless of the gray clouds, regardless of the storms, the lightning, the thunder, whatever curveballs are thrown at you, whether you lose your job, whatever you don't get into this class, whatever test score you don't get here, if you just trust, I gave you my promise that I'm going to take care of you all the way. I gave you my promise from the beginning. Peter, why do you doubt just because you see gray storm clouds? Christ has already promised you. And when you trust him and don't doubt, he'll be with you all the way, no matter what happens. Sometimes God tests our faith. Because if you don't have a faith that's not tested, then it can't really be trusted. We're like, you know, it's like a muscle, right? A muscle, like when Elder Yongfen goes out to run, like he's working out his leg muscles. And like he's a super athlete, marathon runner, because he does it every day. Like not every day, but he, you know, tries to go as much as he can. He's training his muscles and his body to be able to do this. So that if he has this goal to be a marathon runner one day, nobody gets there from like day one to the next day and becomes a marathon runner. It takes years, or it takes months and even years of practice and trying and doing over and over repetitively so that you can develop your muscles. And so faith is like that. We want to get to a point where we're trusting. Remember I shared yesterday that I stuttered in junior high? I never believed in my wildest dreams I'd be speaking up here like this. Nor did I ever believe in my wildest dreams that I would be speaking about Christ's love in front of all of you. I never even dreamed that this moment would be here. But Christ can work in wondrous ways. He can work in wondrous ways. And whatever your dreams may be, whatever your goals may be, Christ has already given you the promise, okay? You have nothing to fear. Peter, why do you doubt? I already said, come to the water. And when I say come to the water, that's all you got to do is just believe that and trust that. And I'm with you all the way, regardless of what happens. So sometimes he will throw wrenches in. You know, sometimes wrenches will be thrown. Sometimes great clouds will form. But our faith is being tested. Why? And why am I here today? Because I was not like this just 5 years ago. Through a series of events in my life, my faith was tested tremendously, like a muscle, over and over. And now I'm here to say, I can look back and say that it was God shaping my faith because he tested me so much. He tested me so much. And he will do the same because he loves you and he wants to see you grow. Because a faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. That's why storm clouds happen all the time. But he's already given you the promise. All you got to do is believe that. When our faith is tested like a muscle, it's literally working out and building gain. If we see the goal ahead of us, then we just trust the process. When we look back and we look at the mirror and flex, then that's when we see the results. That wasn't me, right? 2 years ago. Verse 32. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So what was the other effect? Peter's having this dialogue with Jesus. It's just between him and Peter. But remember about like all those disciples that are still in the boat, they're sitting there going, whoa, dude, what's going on here? And when they saw Peter walk and then through his doubt come back up, they're like, praise be to God. They immediately got on their knees and threw up their arms and say, praise be to God. So when your faith is tested and when you survive that, you gain greater strength. You gain greater strength and faith because through that, not only do you become stronger in faith, but you become a witness. You become a witness and an evangelist to other people around you. I was like, oh my gosh, look at that person. Look at their life. Like, how do you do that? It's because I put in the time and the effort. I've been tested. It wasn't easy. I went through the ringer. I was tested, but I still believed and I trusted. And when people see that in your life, when people see that impact and that change in your life towards positive growth, towards positive change, that can become a witness for them too. And in that way, we are doing God's work because he calls all of us to be evangelists. This is why we're here, to love God, to love other people, to love those who are less fortunate. We're all God's children. To love them and to be an example to those around us of God's love. When our faith is tested, he wants us to build our muscles to get stronger and get gain. Because people can see our lives through that and then be blessed. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word today. Thank you for, first of all, your promise that you've given us, that when you say and you give us conviction that something will happen, and you give us conviction that you are there and that you love us no matter what, that all we have to do is not doubt and just believe that regardless of what may happen, regardless of whatever curveball may be thrown away, regardless of whatever windstorms or clouds may be forming, and even though we have the best laid plans, even though we have the best laid intentions, that we're going to take the first step and take the initiative, and that's all great, Lord, but there's things that sometimes happens that are out of our control. So all we need to do, Lord, at that point is just continue to believe in you and erase all doubts. And thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to test our faith so that we can grow, that we can develop our muscles. And over time, for what reason? Why? Why is all this necessary? What are you trying to tell us here, Lord?
It's because when you test our faith and we survive through and we grow stronger, then we will look to you and glorify you and say, thank you, Lord, for blessing me and for your promise so that I can become more faithful and I can be a stronger person in the Lord. Not just for myself, but for those unfortunate around me and for those, all those people who are lost and who need to hear your good word and for your and your good news. So many people who are lost in this world can look at me as an example of my faith and say, truly, there goes a person of God, a man, strong man, woman of God, Lord, truly, because of the way that I live my life. So, Lord, we just ask that you give us this attitude right now and just not to not doubt, but to just believe in you and believe in your promise 100%. We pray this in your Lord's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Okay, so right now it's 10:13, and let's see. Okay, we have, by the way, later on today, we're going to have some free time, and then you guys will get your free time, and then some group games. So let's spend now until about 10:30. We don't really have time to do the to make the posters, but for those groups that you guys formed last night, can you guys go ahead and go into your groups, and then you can break up the chairs and then just like pick a corner, and then leaders, can you please assign to a group? Okay, everybody else who is not in a group, can you raise your hand? Raise your hand. Oh, excuse me. Can you come to this side, and then let's count off, okay? If you're not in a group, come to this side.